Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. The church gives us in the gospel reading as we're approaching Christmas here. We're about to celebrate Christmas Eve. Hope you're ready to go, friends. This is such a beautiful time in the church year. And it's also, unfortunately, such a busy, intense time. It can be difficult for us to be able to find just a time of quiet, some solitude where we can stop and think and pray, quiet our minds, quiet our spirits, and just receive the amazing, astounding reality of the gift of Jesus Christ, the birth of our Lord, the incarnation of Jesus, and to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to soften our hearts, tenderize our hearts, open our minds, to quiet us, to be able to receive this extraordinary, the most extraordinary thing that ever happened in human history, right? The coming of God into his own creation, God taking on human flesh, which is the incarnation is directly tied to the resurrection and the ascension and all of it. It's in some ways, it's one main story act. It's what we're really celebrating here. It's God's action, his saving action, the mystery of salvation, the life, passion, the birth, life, passion, death, and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's such an important time, friends, of gift-giving to not miss the real gift. What's all the other gifts are symbolic of, and they're expressing something. But what it's all about is to remind us about the gift. And this gift has been given to you and to me, and it's being offered to everyone in the world, every single human being. People don't know, not everyone knows it, not everyone has received it. And that's the mission of the church, to, in love, bring this gift to everyone. This reading today from Luke is the continuation of where we started yesterday with the story of the birth of John the Baptist and the amazing unfolding of God's plan through the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth being, Zechariah and Elizabeth both being beyond the age of childbearing. She was barren, and as it was the case with Abraham and Sarah, God works a miracle. He brings life out of impossibility, and he brings life to a barren woman. He works a miracle, and he worked a miracle here for the birth of John the Baptist. And of course, as I mentioned yesterday, Zechariah doubted when Gabriel brought the message, the angel Gabriel brought the message to him, and he was disciplined by the Lord. And he was mute, he was struck mute, until the day when Elizabeth and Zechariah brought John into the temple for the circumcision. And it was the day then when John was named. Very important moment, because that name, that is John, was given by Gabriel himself, really a messenger from God, Gabriel, the angel who stood in the presence of God, and God named John. So now Zechariah is, he writes down, he says, yes, his name should be John, and when he did that, he was no longer mute. The Lord touched him, the Holy Spirit touched him, and he could speak, and he began to bless God, he began to rejoice. You notice he wasn't resentful and angry at God, like, hey, this wasn't fair. I mean, this isn't fair. I'm a good guy. I'm in the temple all the time. I'm a righteous man. And just because I doubted a little bit, I had to undergo that discipline. No, he rejoiced and understood. He understood that he needed that discipline because of his own doubt, his own fear, his own limitations. And the discipline of God is an act of love. God disciplines those whom he loves so we can be mature, so we can grow, so we can learn to trust and surrender to him, because that's where our strength is. In total abandonment and trust to God. There is no strength in the flesh. There is no strength ultimately in things that are eternal and that really matter. And relying on our own understanding and our own limitation, which I think is replete all over the church today, even in significant leaders in the church today, there's too much relying on our own understanding. And God, as C.S. Lewis put at one point, that God is in the dock. He said, ancient man used to stand before God like a man before a judge, understanding that the judge was about to, hit the gavel and make the judgment and that he had real authority, said, but now today in modern culture, and I think the church has been affected by this in different ways, God is the one who's in the dock. And human beings, proud human beings, are just saying, well, no, you know, it's just too much to believe this stuff. Or, no, God's commandments and ways, some of it is just too much. And we're more compassionate. We're more understanding. We've gone beyond revelation, you know, what revelation has given to us. And so we judge what God's plan is and purpose and some of his commandments as being really, they're almost offensive to us. We take offense at them. And that's the kind of thing that brings the discipline of God on his children. And the discipline doesn't lead to change of heart, change of mind, and accepting God's discipline to lead to maturity, then God's judgment comes. That's what follows. So here we are in this story, the gospel, chapter 1, verse 67 and following of Luke. That's in Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, now it's so interesting to see this whole unfolding of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is a work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who's a key player gets overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who orchestrates. He's the one who inspires. That same Holy Spirit that's moving Zechariah that we've been given in our baptism to be able to hear the Lord, to move, just as Zechariah is. And now his heart's about to sing a great hymn, a prophetic hymn, and understanding the salvation history of how faithful God has been to the people of Israel and his word leading up to this great moment. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us. He would save us from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Keep those words in mind. Save us from what? From those who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Mercy, covenant faithfulness. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation. How? By the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, Zechariah is proclaiming something. It's a prophecy. It's an inspiration of the Spirit. And it's the cry of the people of Israel. And it's a declaration that God has been faithful against all their oppressors. And he's going to free them from the oppressors. But there's something deeper, not just the oppression of the Roman Empire and all those who oppose Israel, but something much deeper. He promised to save us from our enemies. Well, what's the fundamental enemy of the people of God? Who is the fundamental enemy of the people of God? It's Satan. In some ways, it's clear that in reality, there's not a human being on the planet or a government on the planet that in itself is your enemy or my enemy. Remember what Jesus said from the cross, or those who crucified him. Clearly you'd say they're enemies of God, right? The people who put him on that cross. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Human beings are caught up, and we connive, and we're responsible for how we're seduced by, but we're living in a battle. Kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. And the light in this prophecy right here, Zechariah is saying the light's breaking into that darkness. But the point is to say, the one who hates us is Satan. Jesus told us he's a murderer. He's a liar. And then he goes on, he promised to show mercy to our fathers. So the mercy of God is coming because he's coming to save us from the one who has enslaved us. Paul the Apostle will say in Ephesians chapter 2, every single human being is born in a condition of darkness and separation from God. Church calls that original sin. The light of Christ shines right into that darkness. And it's the enemy who led the human race to the place of rebellion that produced that condition and separation and hostility in the relationship to God. Jesus has come to break the power of Satan, the one who hates us, and he's coming with a merciful heart and the tender heart of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. His covenant faithfulness is expressed. And he wants to give us the freedom to worship him without any kind of fear at all. Zechariah says, speaking of his own son, you, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. He's the forerunner. He's preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. To do what? To give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. So John's baptism in the River Jordan, he baptized people to help them get in, to turn toward God, to have their sins forgiven, right? In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The human race, apart from Jesus, brothers and sisters, apart from God and God's purpose, continues to dwell in darkness and live under the shadow of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says the strategy of the devil, the one who hates us, is to enslave the human race through the fear of death. We battle daily against death. We're striving, fighting, doing whatever we can to escape it, to deny it. Just, it's a tremendous revelation when you begin to see the reality of the battle in the human heart against the power of death, how it manifests itself throughout the culture and throughout society. And it's an enslaving power. Death is a disordered energy, and it darkens the mind. And we can't see who we are, why we're here, where we've come from. And it's a slavery. It makes us believe we're alone, we're isolated. We have to fight for ourselves. We have to fight for survival. We have to stave off this moment we know is coming for all of us and this shadow that's cast over our lives. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness and dispels that darkness. He's the one who guides our feet into the way of peace, into right relationship with God, ordering our relationship with God, making peace through the blood of his cross. Friends, this season, and why we celebrate so much that and proclaim that the light has come, and we burn the candles. We'll do it tonight at midnight mass and the rest. We declare we're a people. We'll be standing together in the liturgy, the church, which draws us into the presence of God and draws us into this drama where all the lights will be out and it'll be darkness. We do this at Easter as well in different ways. And so we're a people, we're persons, a race of people standing in darkness. And then the light comes from the Easter candle and the light moves around the church. And one by one, you know, it's symbolic of what has happened, that the light of Christ that the forerunner John proclaimed has come to each one of us in our baptism, and it's dispelled the darkness, and death has no hold on us. Death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? Our victory is in the person of Jesus Christ, and we're a new creation. Behold, the light has come. Brothers and sisters, have a wonderful celebration of Christmas. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.